Welcome to the Friends of Feedies podcast. This show is all about celebrating the incredible journeys of female entrepreneurs in the agri-food and food manufacturing sector. We're here to dish out the secrets of success and serve up a side of inspiration along the way. We are the Feed Program, and we are where dreams are made, businesses are born, and the agri-food world is your oyster. Let's dine together.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Friends of Feedies podcast. I'm your host, Mubina, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today for a discussion on business development and survival during challenging times. In this episode, we have the pleasure of hosting two remarkable women who exemplify resilience, innovation, and a deep commitment to their community. Allow me to introduce our esteemed guests, Christy and Megan, the visionary founders of Prairie Grazer. Prairie Grazer isn't just a business, it's a culinary adventure that brings people together through the art of grazing. When the world was hit by the challenges of COVID-19 pandemic, Christy and Megan demonstrated the true spirit of entrepreneurship. Rather than closing their doors, they embraced the art of the pivot, leading to a surge in the sales and growth that caught the attention of many. Christy and Megan have not only built a successful business, but they've also become champions of their local community. They showcase the talent of other local businesses and have a heart for giving back, truly embodying the essence of community-driven entrepreneurship. So join me in this engaging conversation as we dive deep into the world of collaboration and navigating challenges. Without further ado, let's jump in. Hello, Megan and Christy. Thank you for being here. How are you?
Thanks so much for having us. We're great.
Great to see you here. Give us a little bit of introduction. How did you start with the idea of Prairie Grazer? And what inspired you?
Sure. I actually took a trip out to Tofino, actually kind of in the midst of COVID. We had an opportunity to escape when some of those restrictions were lifted. So we went to visit my family out in BC, and we heard about, my husband and I had actually heard about this opportunity to essentially go see this really cool charcuterie place that existed. So we went, but we couldn't actually get in. So we sat across the street from the charcuterie shop and actually had a pint at Tofino Brewing Company, which I always joke, I do a lot of advertising for the Tofino Brewing Company, which I'm okay with. But I essentially got my wheels turning and started thinking about what this could be like in Saskatoon, because we had nothing like it at the time. So our business didn't actually exist before the pandemic, but we opened our doors during the pandemic. So when I came back, I actually went on a camping trip with Christy, and we had a conversation about what this could have looked like in Saskatoon, or what this could look like in Saskatoon. And then we jumped right in. We essentially decided to get our licensing almost immediately, all the licensing that we needed. We secured our Instagram handle right away, which we always joke about, I think, is like the first step of entrepreneurship now, is get those Instagram handles secured. And then we really dove into the business. We didn't have a lot of background information on how to essentially do or grow a business like this. And there was nobody like us at the time. So it was a bit of a challenge to essentially get started. But it was something that we were both passionate about, being people who love food and people who love wine. And we thought, why not put food, wine, and people together and create a business here in Saskatoon?
Great start, and very inspiring. So I assumed you did everything so quickly, right?
Yeah, it all happened quite quickly. So in order for us to run, obviously, a legitimate food business here in Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. we had to get the proper licensing in place, and obviously prep out of a recognized commercial kitchen space. So we actually started out of the local kitchen downtown, which I think is kind of the it was like the hub of collaboration at the time. We started right in the local kitchen there. We essentially met with the women who owned the local kitchen right away, then got our licensing in place, all the licensing that we needed, which it was a huge help being in the local kitchen, because they really helped to guide us through those initial kind of obstacles that we were facing in terms of finding a recognized commercial kitchen space and finding hours and having refrigeration and all those things that we obviously didn't have when we were starting our business. It was hitting the ground running and essentially figuring out what this would look like really quickly. And then obviously building our community of grazers.
And you started during the pandemic, right?
Yes. Yeah. So in September of 2020. So right kind of in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah. Wasn't it hard because there were many obstacles at that time?
Yeah, it's funny because we never actually operated this business before the pandemic. So really all we knew about the Prairie Grazer was what it looked like during the pandemic, which was a huge risk and a huge challenge, because when we were opening our doors, we saw many other businesses closing, particularly within the food industry. It was a really, really difficult time with the health measures that were being put into place, the restrictions that were being put into place. So we really had to find a way to navigate around that and bring our concept to life within those restrictions. So we kind of saw a need in the middle of the pandemic that, businesses and individuals and families weren't able to get together to gather. And so we thought, well, how can we allow people to celebrate and gather, for lack of a better term, without being, in the same room together? So our individual boxes really became something that people could share virtually. Like, we'd have businesses that would order, 200 boxes for all of their staff for a Christmas party, and they would take the time to deliver each of those boxes to the homes of all of their team members working virtually, and we would help them with that. And then they would all get together over Zoom and have their Christmas party or something like that. And so really having that idea of gathering over a meal, but doing it in a virtual environment, was something that it was a void in the community that we sought to fill.
Amazing. So I see many creativity there. Based on what you said, you think what were some key factors that allowed your business to thrive when others were struggling?
I think it's exactly what Christy said, and the fact that there weren't a ton of options or ways for people to get together and safely, right, during the pandemic, or there wasn't like a lot of individual options. So creating essentially a little individual charcuterie box that when you open it, it's like a little gift to you, yeah. I think was the void that we were filling during that time. And then also planning these charcuterie workshops, virtual charcuterie workshops, it was just a different way for people to get together and be creative still, or learn a new skill maybe they didn't know ahead of time, like making a beautiful meat flour. I don't know, maybe that was a skill they didn't have. So it was a cool way for people to essentially get together during that time.
And I think the thing about our product is no one had ever seen anything like it before, because we were the first of our kind. So it quickly became something, it was a very visual product. So, we would share images of our product very early on social media. And because people had never seen it before in Saskatoon, word of mouth spread really quickly. People were sharing their experiences with this, talking about how great it was. And it kind of just blew up within those first few months. Like, I think it was really within the first 4 months that we saw this huge explosion on social media of our products. And so I think having a really visual product that was very appealing really just captured audiences. And it set us apart from just like a normal restaurant business or a normal takeout business, because what we were serving was completely unique and something no one had ever seen before.
Yeah, I get it. And because I know that Prairie Grazer revolves around supporting local businesses, how do you identify and choose the products to feature in your shop or in the plates?
Well, Grazer? We joked about this, or we have in the past, because that was actually a huge obstacle for us in the beginning, because we were essentially approaching well-established businesses and organizations in Saskatoon and asking them to essentially have their product be repackaged in our products And it was a bit of a struggle because most people weren't too sure what we were doing. Why would we want to do this, right? So we're approaching these companies and they're not quite sure what this looks like. And they're not quite sure if they trust that we're going to do a good job of this, right? Because it's their business's reputation on the line as well. But essentially, once we showed people what we were doing, then some of those heavy hitters in Saskatchewan jumped on board, or in Saskatoon specifically jumped on board. So some of those people were like Pineview Farms. And we were thrilled when we were able to connect with Pineview Farms and obviously use some of their meats in our charcuterie boxes. Pig and Pantry here in the city too, same thing. Saskatoon Spruce Cheese, Night Oven, like all of these companies, once they started to see what we were trying to do, which was essentially pull organizations together, pull companies together, and create this really kind of unique local box of products for other people to sample, and then redirect them back to Night Oven and to Pineview Farms, where they could essentially buy those products. Once people saw the vision, then they jumped on board, right? In terms of picking the people that we wanted to work with, we at first just picked people we really loved or organizations we really loved. So we already were shopping. Christy and I were already shopping at Night Oven and we loved their bread and their baked goods. So that was easy for us to obviously pick. Same with Christy's Bakery. We were already shopping at Pineview Farms. So this was easy for us to obviously choose them as suppliers. But for us, the things that are really important are connecting with businesses that really have the same foundational values that we do, which is supporting local, and which is obviously giving back to the community and being a positive community member. So we seek out those kinds of partnerships. And then also our partnerships come from people who essentially have an established, reputable business that their product is obviously produced in a commercial kitchen. So we're pretty picky about who joins our marketplace, just because we want everything to be safe and following guidelines.
I see. Christy, anything from you? You want to add?
No, I just echo everything Megan says. It, you know, and I might add that, like Megan said in the beginning, we were approaching a lot of these businesses trying to sell them on the vision that we had, but then there came a shift fairly early on in our business where businesses started approaching us and saying, you know, we want to have our products in your boxes, or we want to have our products in your marketplace. And I think for us, that was kind of a aha moment. We were like, hey, we're doing pretty good here. If business like this are now approaching us and we're not having to seek them out all the time. So that was kind of an interesting shift for us.
Yeah, I should say, guys, you're so brave because you started in pandemic that nobody wants to do anything. You approached big businesses and I would say you were also patient. Like you wait a lot.
Yeah, we had to be.
Yeah, entrepreneurship is all about that. Sure that we have many early stage entrepreneurs listening to this episode. So someone wants to just start collaboration with bigger businesses. What would be the first step they should do? Like, what would you tell them?
I think the biggest thing is to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row first, right? Make sure that you have all your proper licensing and that you're following all provincial regulations first and foremost, because that's going to lend a lot of credibility to your business, right? You don't want to be making something out of your basement and selling it on Facebook Marketplace and then approaching businesses like Pineview and saying, hey, I want to collaborate and work with you, right? You know, when businesses collaborate with us, sometimes they even ask us if we have our licensing and regulations in place. And I love that because I think that really helps create credibility and ensures that everyone is enjoying food products made in Saskatchewan in a safe way. We don't want anyone getting sick from enjoying any food products like that. So I think just making sure that you have your ducks in a row first and foremost before approaching anyone is a big step.
Great. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And licenses are very much important. Apart from like the grazing, I saw on your website that you have also other services or like community works. Could you tell us a little bit about them?
So one of the, I think, foundations of our business, I know, one of the foundations of our business has always been community. And I think it's pretty cool that right from the very get-go, Christy and I have always said, like, imagine what we could give back, right? So if we could build our business to this level, imagine what we could give back. Imagine this, imagine that. That's really been the one of the foundational pillars of our business from the very beginning. So we do support a lot of local organizations in the city through obviously monetary and food donations, so product donations. But we also love to just simply have people in the community coming into our space here in the North End. So we also offer in-person classes. We did obviously offer virtual classes during the pandemic, but we offer in-person classes, and we have one actually happening today right in our space. So the great thing about that is having the opportunity through our storefront to actually invite the public in to gather, right? And to teach them a little bit about charcuterie, but also to teach them about the local products that we're using within our boxes. And we've partnered with a whole bunch of other organizations to put on some pretty great workshops as well. Everything down from like a pumpkin floral event to beer tastings and actual cocktail classes. So it's really been the heart of how we designed our space, but also community has really been at the heart of the foundation of our business as well.
Amazing. Our accelerator cohort will begin soon in September, and we are going to have many, many new founders with new product joining us. And if some of them wants to be featured in your market, how should they reach out to you, and what characteristics or features are you looking for?
I think the best way to reach out to us is always Instagram or email. We're always happy to have conversations, especially with new entrepreneurs, especially in the food industry. But we're looking for products that obviously align with what it is that we do. So when you think of a charcuterie box, what goes well with charcuterie, right? And that can mean very different things depending on where you are, but that's really what we're looking for. And not only that, but products that are unique. Our marketplace that we have both in store and online, we like to feature products that we use in our charcuterie boxes and that we love, but also products that are unique. Feel free to reach out, because we're always happy to have that conversation.
Great. Thank you so much. And as the female entrepreneur in the food industry, what are some of the lessons you learned that shaped your approach or shaped your business?
I think being persistent is a big one. We've found that at certain points in our business, we've been told no. And that's okay, because you're always going to be told no. But the key is to be persistent. And if someone says no, it usually just means not right now. And maybe there's another way to go about that and find a way to make it happen. So persistency is key. And that you will have to often prove yourself, like we did with our local partners in the beginning, before people will take you seriously. And that's okay as well. But I think also as women entrepreneurs, we do have a lot of strengths that I think are often overlooked. And so really taking those strengths, ability to multitask and do all things business at once and just have that creative mind and different things like that, really harness those skills and use them, because they are strengths and they can really set you apart in the business community.
Only thing I would add would just be, sometimes you got to just keep your head down, right? Mm-hmm. So it's easy to kind of look around and see what's going on elsewhere and get distracted by that. And yeah. I think there were times at the start of our business that was something that we would get caught up in. But Christy and I would say are hyper-focused on our business and foundations of our business and what those values are. So we always just kind of turn back to those values and we just keep doing what we're doing and keeping it simple. Because sometimes I think we try to be all things for all people, especially being a woman in business. And we know that that's not who we are. We have a certain set of skills and we want to use those certain set of skills and be a leader in that area, instead of being a leader or attempting essentially to be a leader in a whole bunch of areas and falling short. So really just being hyper-focused on what we do well, and keeping our head down and just digging into that success.
Amazing. Thank you. You're already doing great. And I just want to know, what are your plans for the future of the Prairie Grazer?
We always like laugh about this because we have some big plans that are in the works right now, and we haven't really told a lot of people about it, but we are working on our second location here in Saskatoon, and it will be kind of a reinvention of the Prairie Grazer, and we're keeping that part under wraps for now, but it'll be a reinvention of the Prairie Grazer, and we're really excited about that. So we're partnering with some other local companies to create a really fabulous build out in a different area of the city. So for our people in the south end of the city, they'll be happy. That's pretty exciting for us. And then to be really frank, we're really working on kind of simplifying our business. What does this look like for us to just create a really simple, streamlined organization, and really helping our staff grow? Really just focusing on kind of the nuts and bolts of business again, now that we've been in business for a while, and really reshaping what we have into something more efficient.
Yeah, I think that's kind of leads to something else too, is that, you know, as now that we have been in business for, well, almost 3 years now, that reinventing ourselves and really reshaping what we do, there are other businesses like us on the market now. And so we do have to, you know, consistently try and shift what we do slightly and come up with new ideas and innovations to stay ahead of the game. So we're always on top of that and exploring that, but we do keep our ideas pretty close to ourselves. But yeah, we're pretty excited about what's to come in the next few months here.
Great. Amazing. I can't wait for the next store to be open and hear the news. You two both are mother, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. That's my favorite question to always ask. How do you manage being a mother and entrepreneur?
Well, we're both moms, but on top of that, we both actually have full-time careers as well. So I think this is the part of the strength that we see in being a woman, is this multitasking piece, because we do have quite a bit to balance. And by balance, I mean, it's not that balanced, but you know. So yeah, I think the biggest thing is that our kids come first, no matter what, both in my career and in business, my kids come first. And you'll often find our kids at the store. So, they're not in the kitchen, but they're at the store and they've got a lot of Play-Doh. And if you saw the desk I'm sitting at right now, it's got Play-Doh all over it. But I think that has always been like the strength of our business, is that the kids have been involved from the very beginning when it comes to that part of it. Like the kids, if you pull up our floor, we talk about this every once in a while, but if you pull up our floor, the kids drew all over the floor, all over the concrete before we even started the build out, right? So they've been here since the very beginning and have been a part of all of it. And I think they understand that we're kind of in this phase of life right now, this building phase of life, and life won't always be this hectic and this busy, and it is right now. But I think they're pretty darn proud of what we've created, and the kids love coming to the store. Like it's never sad. Like they love being here. They get to eat charcuterie and do their own thing. But I think that's really been the heart of it, is just including them in this and not separating them from it.
Amazing. And I'm sure there are many moms out there who may want to start their own business, but maybe they are scared or they think that they can be a good mom for their children. What would you tell them to encourage them?
It's difficult. like Megan said, balance is not really a thing for us. But I think just, you know, prioritizing and like Megan said, always putting family first. Like Megan and I do have a lot of respect for each other's personal time. And that's why there's two of us. That's why we do this together as a partnership, because we know we couldn't do it without the other one. But yeah, so just having that respect for your own time and creating those boundaries so that you can carve out a little bit of time with your family, I think is really important in finding yourself a business partner.
I also think it's so important, and I don't want to use the word guilty, because I think I'm past the point of feeling like guilty that I'm not at home, because I want to be a strong model for my kids to see that they can do anything. Like we didn't know how to run a business, and we've been figuring it out for 3 years, right? Like there's still things we don't know how to do. And I think you can't limit yourself and say, well, I have kids, so I can't do that. find a way to do it still, right? Include them in it and and prove to them that they can do anything. Because I often find myself saying to Presley, like my daughter, you can do anything you want to do, or my son too, you can do anything you want to do. And I don't want to limit them by saying, but like, do it before you have a family, because then once you have a family, you can't do anything, right? I want them to build whatever dream they want to at any part of their life, right? I'm almost 40 and I feel like I finally figured out who I am and how I want my life to be. So I would have hated to have thought like, well, I can't do it because I have kids, right? Like, push on. It's going to be hard. There's going to be late nights, like so many late nights and early mornings. But I think it's the best life once you figure it out, right?
Yeah, exactly. They can be a role model for their children, telling them you can do anything, you can become whoever you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
My last question is, if you had the chance to reinvent or restart your business again, is there anything you would do differently?
I think, not that we would do differently, but I think hiring a team or getting help from professionals who have expertise in certain areas, we did that fairly early on. But that was something that other business owners told us that they would do differently. So we kind of took that advice and really ran with it. So I think hiring a team or a team of professionals before you think you need them is key in making sure that you're launching yourself from the right place.
I think the other thing I would just say is that sometimes bills come in that you think we literally can't afford that. And we can't do this. We got to pick the cheaper option. And sometimes the cheaper option is actually a learning lesson for you, because you should have just gone with the other option that was more expensive and figured it out, because we definitely have learned that lesson more than once. And not that we picked the cheapest option, but we picked what we thought we could afford and then had to go with the more expensive option anyway. I think spending the money in business, you sometimes just need to swallow that pill and pay the bill.
Yeah,
exactly. You invest.
Yes.
To grow. Amazing. Thank you. From my side, there is no more question, but if you would like to add anything, any advice, feel free.
I don't think I have any other advice. I think the biggest thing that we've just learned over the last 3 years is that there's always going to be some obstacle. Like, you feel like you're like in the flow and then something always pops up. And I think for us, we just really detach from the fact that it's an obstacle and immediately try to find a solution. So we don't get really invested in the fact that it's an obstacle, because we've encountered so many and we just find a solution. So we buckle down and figure it out. So I think that's the part that can force some people to come to a full standstill, is that it is one obstacle after another when you run a business, and you just got to figure it out and then move on. And then those obstacles become easier because they often show up again, and then you just figure it out again, right? Do what you did last time or do something better. So I think the biggest thing is that persistency piece. Like, you have to persist even when it's tough. You can't throw in the towel after a short amount of time, because you're going to see growth eventually. It just sometimes takes a bit of time. And then, you really just got to put your head down and get through the mud some days.
And you will want to quit, for sure. There will be times where you want to quit. But like Megan said, just kind of refocusing yourself on the good parts, and that will help get you through, the parts that are a little bit more difficult and really find a way through.
Thank you, guys. Great insight. Great episode. That was all.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you to our listeners for indulging your entrepreneurial appetite with this episode of Friends of Fides. If anything we've discussed today has ignited that entrepreneurial fire within you, and you're not quite sure how to get started, or you're just craving some mentorship and coaching to fuel your business growth, please reach out to us at www.feed.ca. That's FEAD.ca. The Feed team is here to be your sous chefs, supporting you every step of the way. Connect with us on social media or via email. We're sprinkled all over the digital landscape. Our team is ready to provide mentorship, community, and coaching that you need to flourish. At Feed, we're here to empower women and all entrepreneurs in the agri-food industry. So don't hesitate to reach out and join our vibrant community of like-minded foodpreneurs. Until next time, keep baking those dreams into reality, stay hungry, and continue to nourish your entrepreneurial spirit with Feed. Bon appetit.